Load is a Jimmy on Sunday from the lake in Sweden. I'm out fishing today, and I don't get any hooks at all. But oh shit, I got something now. It's big, looks like a big one, and it pulls and pulls. And I get it up in the boat, and it's rattled. And it looks like a surely can't be serious podcast. And they're wiggling around in the boat. I better throw them back in.
Okay, Jason, so you know, a lot of people ask me what we do here at the Shirley Podcast, and I say, you know, there's going to be sex, drugs, rock and roll, chips, dips, chains, whips, you know, basic high school orgy type of thing. I mean, I'm not talking candle wax on the nipples or witchcraft or anything like that. No. Just a couple of hundred kids running around in their underwear acting like complete animals.
That's hilarious. You totally stole my line. That was my intro.
That's great.
That was what I had ready to go.
Well, so welcome back to the Shirley You Can't Be Serious podcast, everybody. Every time we're about to start an episode, Jason or I will say to each other, do you have an intro for this episode? And I today said, do you have an intro? And he's like, yeah, I got an idea. And I'm like, okay, well, I got one.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well, I'll build off of yours.
Totally undercut me on all that. So,
well, what do you little maniacs want to do first? Shall we do casting for Real Genius?
How about we do part two of Real Genius versus Weird Science, and we start with casting of Real Genius.
Okay, so that is where we're going. Welcome back to the Shirley You Can't Be Serious podcast, everyone. Or if it's your first time here, welcome for the first time. I hope you enjoy it. And if you do, hit that little subscribe button on your podcast listening app or the YouTube video, whatever you like. So we got to give a shout out to our new Patreon members, executive producers for this episode and every episode for as long as your membership lasts.
Right.
We have got Sammy J.
Sammy J, who does all the great intros that he's been sending us. They
are fantastic. I love your intros, Sammy. Keep on bringing them.
That's right.
The hits just keep on coming. We've got one Kim Possible slow runner. We haven't actually had an exchange to find out if Kim is Kim Possible's real name or if it's a pseudonym, but it's a heck of a name. I love it.
That's all right. One Kim Possible slow runner. Thank you very much. It's like, how can they possibly be slower than I am? Not sure.
It's Kim Possible.
Right.
And then our newest member, just 5 days ago, we had Jeremy Jasper join us on Patreon. Jeremy. Guys, if you want to join our Patreon family, we truly appreciate it. It helps us finance some of the things that we have to buy for being a podcast, but we don't ask you to do it for nothing. We will give you a members only pass to our One Hit Wonder episodes that are Patreon members only episodes. They're some of our best episodes. And if you do a little bit more, a little higher tier, we start sending you presents because, you know, we like to give back.
Quick shout out to our Patreon members. We don't say it often enough. We don't call them by name, but really, if you are a Patreon member, we are so thankful for you.
Absolutely. And this is true not only for our paid members, who obviously we very much appreciate your financial contribution, but we've got a significant portion of people who are just on the Patreon page. They're not paid, but they're still participating in our conversations, still get to take part in all of those polls. You can join up for absolutely free and be a part of the family. So come check us out, patreon.com/surelypodcast. All right, that's enough advertising for now. Let's get into, there is one other.
Yeah, one other
As
thing.
As you all can see in our cool little background here that we've got, and this is literally right here behind us, we have a wall of albums back here. We've had a ton of contribution from our Patreon member, Chris Weber, but we've gotten some new ones in.
Yeah, so I was on a recent podcast with our buddy Jim and Lindsay Butler for Children of the 80s, and I met another podcast guy there. His name's Sean Jones, and he does the Smoking Sounds podcast.
Okay.
If you're a cigar guy at all, you ought to go listen to them. They do some great stuff. It's pop culture.
Did you say Sicario? Cigar. Is cigar. I knew what you were saying. I'm messing with you here. I like a good cigar. You, not so much. But they still have an entertaining podcast.
They do. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, and they're an Oklahoma podcast, so they're out of Tulsa. Anyway, so
Boomer Sooner, baby.
So I got talking to Sean, and he just mentioned, he's like, hey, he used to be in radio in some way, and had a friend who's like, I don't need these albums anymore. Do you want them? And he's like showing them to me. He's like, do you want these? I'm like, yes, Yes. Yes. You know,
and did you say no to anything?
Well, not very much. So anyway, he sent those to me. I offered to pay, but he said, nah, man, keep it. So he and I are going to hook up at some point in Tulsa, have lunch. And anyway, thank you, Sean, for sending those to me.
I think you might be able to catch it over my shoulder here, but we've got Skyscraper by David Lee Roth. We've got In Excess in Listen Like Thieves. We've got the Europe, the Final Countdown album. We've got AC/DC Back in Black. That is a prize right there.
I know,
bro.
Right? I know.
And then, of course, up at the top, we've got Ricky Springfield.
Or Glass Dog, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesse's Girl.
Jesse's Girl, right? Yeah.
So anyway, thanks, Sean. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Sean. Okay, now I think it is time that we get into the nuts and bolts. We're going to talk. We talked casting for Weird Science at the end of our last episode. Let's talk about casting for Real Genius.
Okay, so leading off, the main guy in Real Genius, obviously, is the one, the only, the late, great Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
He plays Chris Knight.
Something strange happened to me this morning.
Was it a dream where you see yourself standing in sort of sun god robes on a pyramid with 1,000 naked women screaming and throwing little pickles at you?
No.
Why am I the only person that has that dream?
When he auditioned for this movie, he read the script and realized Chris Knight is not a polite guy.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came into the room, he was cocky and introduced himself to Brian Grazer, who is the producer.
The producer, yeah. And Brian Grazer's a big producer. Like, he's done a ton, like worked with Ron Howard and done a ton of stuff.
He's done a ton of stuff. I don't think he had done quite that.
Not much at that point, yeah.
Like, Splash was his big thing at that moment.
Right.
But he introduced himself. Brian Grazer says, hi, how you doing? I'm the producer. And Val Kilmer said, you look like you're 12. I like to work with men. And they thought, you know what? That cocky attitude, uh-huh, that self-confidence, this is our guy.
This is exactly what Chris Knight needs to be.
Yeah.
The reformed, rebellious nerd.
That's right. That's right. Didn't want him to think he was stuffy. You know, all brain, no penis.
Wait, don't eat that. I've heard it can cause enormous breasts.
Oh my God, I'm too late. Some of his lines in this movie are so funny. I really, really enjoy this movie. I'll be interested to see how you weigh in at the end of this when we do our final judgment.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, did you see this movie when it first came out? Like, did you see it in the theater?
This was a HBO staple for me, though.
Okay.
I don't remember it in theaters. I did see Weird Science in theaters.
Uh-huh.
But this was one a regular on HBO for me.
I'm pretty confident my brother took me to see this one. This is,
okay.
Yeah, this is one of those ones. It wasn't up to the Die Hard or Back to the Future.
Back
to the Future that he did that with me with, but this was definitely one that we went and saw together.
I did see Top Secret in the theater, and I saw Top Gun about 20 times in the theater, so, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, no, Top Secret was, we loved it because we're big airplane fans, and that was, I mean, same guys. So we watched Top Secret a lot, actually. We may have had that one on VHS.
Right. So I just want to run through some of these titles for Val Kilmer. I mean, we all are pretty familiar with his career, I think, but I mean, listen to some of these names. You've got Heat, you've got Ghost in the Darkness, you've got Wonderland, where he plays John Holmes. Kind of interesting.
Wow, I missed that one.
You have Top Gun.
Yes.
You have Willow.
Yeah.
You have The Doors.
Mad Mardigan.
Yeah.
Jim Morrison.
You have Thunderheart.
I don't remember what his name was in that.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Is it?
I don't remember his name, but
yeah.
You have Tombstone.
Gosh, I saw the Babylon Bee headline on the day that he died, and it said, all men across the country in honor of Val Kilmer's death are quoting Tombstone just like usual.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he was in Batman Forever.
How about that?
We need to talk about that sometime. Actually,
yeah, we do have a what the heck happened coming up where we've got the same director, right? Still Joel Schumacher, but after Joel and Val parted ways, I remember seeing Joel talk about not rehiring Val and literally saying Val was an asshole, and I was just like, wow, I wouldn't have expected that. I mean, he's definitely a character, but I don't think he was probably the worst actor in that particular scenario, especially after Batman and Robin came out.
Batman and Robin made his performance in Batman Forever look good.
Oscar worthy.
But I've got something, and we're going to talk about that with Jeff Johnson this summer.
Yeah, Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin versus Superman Returns.
Yes, though, two What the Heck Happened episodes. Bat Nipples versus Stalker Superman.
That's right. When you've got a Stalker Superman, you've got a problem. So I want to tell you this. This idea that Joel Schumacher found Val Kilmer difficult. I think Martha Coolidge found him difficult. I know Tony Scott found him difficult. He's a difficult guy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
The director of The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh.
Which is a legendary, terrible production.
Yeah. Is that, that's the one with Marlon Brando, right?
Marlon Brando.
Oof. Okay.
I believe it was John Frankenheimer. I know he was the director of that show.
Okay.
He said, and I, you know, I'm quoting from the Val documentary. Mm-hmm. If I were making a movie called The Life and Times of Val Kilmer, I would not hire that a-hole. And I was like, dang.
Yeah, G-man-y. Okay.
Legendary actor, fun on the screen.
Difficult to get along with on
not
the set.
Not friend of directors, apparently.
All right. Okay, well, it's good to know.
Okay. Now then, as Mitch, we have Gabriel Jarrett.
Yeah.
I want you to think about what you've done, Kent. And from now on...
Stop playing with yourself.
Yeah.
That was going to be a more excited, yeah, until last year and a half ago.
Yeah. So he's bounced around a little bit. He's done some stuff. Apollo 13.
He was like, what, 14 when this movie, right?
He was born in 1970. So yeah.
Yeah. And this came out in 85. So yeah, he's probably 14, maybe just hit 15.
Right.
And interestingly enough, just a year and a half ago, it circled full circle when he was old and after a 14-year-old girl.
He got arrested in a...
Not arrested. He got caught. Because the police...
Oh, that's right. Those guys weren't cops.
Yeah, so this was like the Citizens Perv Patrol.
Citizens Perv Patrol.
Something like that.
I like that,
right?
Name, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, basically a watchdog group that would lure guys into phishing text threads with girls that were underage, allegedly, which were not girls at all, just... these guys out on witch hunts for these guys,
yeah.
Trying to uncover the pervs. And yeah, and Gabriel Jarrett was meeting someone who he thought was a 14-year-old girl at the end of a pier somewhere.
Right.
And once confronted, he argued for a bit, and then he took off on his little scooter. He had a little like lime wire or something.
I mean,
can you just imagine the embarrassment of the situation, only to be intensified by the fact that you're escaping on a little battery phone app scooter.
He might have to go home and live in mom and dad's spare bedroom now.
I want
to
go live with you guys. pretty awkward. But as I pointed out to you, you know, they turned over all their stuff to the police, just to be the devil's advocate here. They turned all their stuff over to the police, and they still haven't filed any charges against him. So he maintains that he never posted anything inappropriate. They say he did. He said it was her who posted all the inappropriate stuff, and he was just coming to let her down easy in person. Well, it was his story. I don't know why you'd not be able to do that by text, but...
I rolled up in my scooter. I was going to let her down easy.
Yeah, wearing my hoodie and dark sunglasses. I don't know that. I'm making that part up. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but anyway, kind of a sad end to a not quite career, but yeah.
We didn't know that when we started this podcast.
No.
And sadly, Mitch is in big trouble.
Yeah.
Well, possibly.
Maybe. We'll see.
Who knows? All right. Michelle Myrink.
I never sleep. I don't know why. I had a roommate and I drove her nuts. I mean, really nuts. They had to take away in an ambulance and everything. But she's okay now, but she had to transfer to an easier school. But I don't know if that had anything to do with being my fault. But listen, if you ever need to talk, you need help studying, just let me know, because I'm just a couple doors down from you guys and I never sleep, okay?
Okay. So I dove deep on Michelle Myrink.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because, I mean, she is, it's a literal, like, who's list of movies in the 80s that she's in.
She had a string of great movies.
She had The Outsiders. She had The Joy of Sex, which I don't think was a great movie, but, I mean, it looked like it had potential. I could see how she would be confused about it.
Okay, just to interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
The Joy of Sex.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie,
mm-hmm.
but I do know it was directed by Martha Coolidge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So like the year before, Right. Working with the same director.
So just on Martha Coolidge real quick, because she's got, there's some interesting things about her. Number one, she is a distant relative of Calvin Coolidge, the president.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty cool. Oh. After film school, directed a bunch of documentaries about New York City, but then went and studied with Lee Strasberg and Stella Adler, studied the craft of acting, not because she wanted to act, but because she wanted to direct. And then she went to L.A. and joined Zoetrope Studios with
Francis Ford Coppola,
right. She does Valley Girl.
She basically discovers Nicolas Cage.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. He had been in The Outsiders. Rumblefish.
I'm sorry. Yes, he had been in Rumblefish.
Right. Because he's Francis Ford Coppola's nephew.
Right.
But she's the one who actually gave him a shot.
But you can see the connection there because she's working in Francis Ford Coppola's.
Yeah, that's right.
That makes the connection make sense. She was ended up being the first female president of the Directors Guild of America. So, I mean, not too shabby.
Way to go.
She's killing it. But back to Michelle Myrick. Okay. Yeah. So list of her shows, 1983, The Outsiders, 1983, Valley Girl, 1984, Joy of Sex, 1985. She was on an episode of Family Ties.
I'd love to talk to you about that.
Okay. Then, of course, Real Genius, which we're talking about today. And then she did a few more movies, including Nice Girls Don't Explode. I'm really kind of curious about that one. But then in 89, she just said, this is not the life that I want. She went and studied like Zen Buddhism with her husband, and they now live up in Canada, and she's opened her own acting studio up there where she tries to train people in the way that she was trained in the acting schools in Hollywood.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, one title that you didn't mention, Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yes. I totally jumped right over it. Yeah. She's one of the girl nerds.
Yes. So I want to talk about her Family Ties episode real quick.
Okay.
Okay. Do you remember Skippy?
Yes.
Alex's buddy.
Yeah.
Who is like the nerd. Yeah. Right. And he's always hanging around Alex P. Keaton. So Michelle Myrick's character, I can't remember her name. She was one of Mallory's friends. She comes over to the house and Skippy's like in love with her.
Uh-huh.
And he wants Alex to set them up on a date. And so Alex is doing his best to matchmake and Skippy leaves, whatever. And so Alex and Michelle Myrick's character are at the kitchen table, you know, the Family Ties kitchen table. And he's trying to like build up Skippy. And she's like, Alex, I've been waiting for this moment my entire life. And she plants one on him and he's like frozen. But she's like a little vixen in this one.
Nice.
I was like, let's go, Jordan.
Jordan. Oh, and her character is, I mean, she steals every scene that she's in.
She's so great, scattered, manic
little thing.
Are you peeing? Are you done yet? I can't start. Oh, weird.
Because I'm here?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, she's just here and there. I never sleep, so come down and talk to me. And
Yeah. Great character. Great character.
Speaking of great characters, we have the wonderful William Atherton as Professor Hathaway in this movie.
What are you looking at? You're laborers. You're supposed to be laboring. That's what you get for not having an education.
Not Peck.
Not Walter Peck. And not Harvey Thornburg.
Right. He is in the Trinity. We've completed our Trinity of a-hole characters played by
William Atherton.
William Atherton. Thank you.
Let's rank these real quick.
Okay.
You got Ghostbusters. You got the Environmental Protection Agency. Walter Peck. Yep.
I'm Walter Peck. I represent the Environmental Protection Agency, the 3rd District.
Great. How's it going down there?
You got the news reporter from Die Hard, the one who's going to call INS if they don't let him in.
Thornburg. Yeah.
All right, look, Sam, I tell you what. You don't want to give me a truck? I'll go and I'll steal a truck.
Hey, give us a break, Thornburg.
Eat it, Harvey.
And then you've got Jerry Hathaway.
Yeah.
Hello, Jerry.
I told you before, Kent, you don't get to use my first name. Did I?
He asked Mitch's parents if he was possibly adopted.
Yeah, or, well, better than that, he was like, you won't graduate. Even if you pass, you don't pass.
Right.
Like, he's going to screw over one of the geniuses because he doesn't give him the stuff he needs for the under-the-table money that he's using to build his house.
Right.
I mean, so which is the slimiest of those three? Ooh, that's a hard call. I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go with the professor. Like, he is... bad in all respects.
I'm with you. I think despite his terrible characters, you know, he's dickless in Ghostbusters, right? And
he believes he is fighting the good fight in that one. He's the EPA, like these guys are These guys are
releasing hazardous chemicals. And yeah. And you're right. But Professor Hathaway, complete scumbag.
Yep.
Vindictive.
Yeah. Everybody loves, and he's condescending and awful.
Right.
Yeah. This one wins for sure.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say, if you're playing a reporter, you kind of, they're all slimy. So I'm sorry to say that out loud.
Right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
This is the last chance these kids are going to have to speak to their parents. Okay. So I want to talk about Robert Prescott for a second.
Okay.
Check it out.
Well, yes.
For what?
Mistakes, I guess. You said you guys were stuck.
No. Let's get something very clear here. Okay. When Jerry's not here, you do what I say.
He plays Kent.
It goes from Kent. God to Jerry to me.
Stop playing with yourself, Kent.
He's a bit over the top.
Okay, so he drove you crazy.
I thought
he was awesome.
Yeah, he's supposed to be unlikable, but I found his acting unlikable. But it's fine for this movie. He's fine.
So I first kind of discovered that actor in Bachelor Party.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's the guy that's vying for Tawny Katane's love. And,
yes.
And like her dad really wants them together and he can't stand Tom Hanks. And
right. He's the blonde, handsome boy from the club, right?
That's right. The one that they dangle out the window naked. Bachelor Party.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he's Kent, who's like chief of the buttheads in this movie.
Right.
So he actually, remember, he sabotages the laser by putting...
He's pretty slimy, too.
Putting oil on his optics.
So at the end scene in the movie, whenever he's going to what he thinks is some sort of revelatory experience from God.
Let me have it.
And like, as the popcorn's popping, he's just standing there and his hands are in this kind of, I don't know, like almost epileptic form behind him. Like, I'm like, what
he
is he
doing? He thinks
he's
getting a sign from God.
Okay. Okay. It's ridiculous, but okay. All right.
Yeah, that's right. So. Yes. I think he does great in this movie. I love having somebody to fight against, you know?
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about John Grise for a second.
Okay.
Okay. He's the guy who plays Laszlo, the guy who lives in their closet.
Yeah. So, Laszlo Holyfield.
Laszlo Holyfield.
So do you know that this is based on a real person?
Tell me.
His name is Hopfeld.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, literally, they, and Martha Coolidge talks about meeting this guy. Like, this is a legitimate guy who was up at the top, genius, cracked, went kind of crazy. She said when he came in, like, he's nastier than Holyfield. Like, Hopfeld, like, didn't cut his fingernails.
Oh.
Like, he walked in and they were like, long and, you know,
yeah,
going to church in Atlanta, a long kind of deal. And...
I got you.
And just bizarre, like smelled bad, just weird, but obviously stratosphere genius with all these weird quirks. And yeah, what was the actor's name?
John Grise.
John Grise, who has been in a bunch of stuff. He was the werewolf in
Monster Squad,
right?
Yes.
And he's Uncle, whatever his name is.
Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, I mean, he's done so many memorable parts. But this one, I heard him talking about it, and he's like, I really wanted to hone in on the fact that he's wounded. And he nails that because he's very lovable. Like Holyfield,
he's super,
even though he's
soft.
So weird, yeah, and mysterious, he's like, you can tell that he's been like, he's like the dog that shakes when you go to pet it,
mm-hmm,
but kind, you know?
Right.
It's great. I love the character.
When he comes to tell them, they're celebrating this breakthrough in the laser, mm-hmm, and he comes to tell them, and they're having a party or whatever, and they're like, what do you think they're going to use this laser for? And,
right, yeah, and he's the one that, like, tips the hand for the bad guys, yeah.
Ick is like, how about a big block of Swiss cheese? And they're like, you know, but he's like, no, he points it out to them, and they realize they've been duped, you know? Okay, so his dad is a director.
Okay.
Did you ever see the 1970s version of Helter Skelter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he directed that movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, crazy. Okay.
And actually, I was listening to John Grise tell a story of how he got involved in acting. So he was hanging out at his dad's job, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're on the lot. His dad's working, and John was, you know, bugging him. And he's like, look, just go play on the Bonanza lot. And sends him over to the Bonanza lot. Well, he had just lost a front tooth.
We're talking about Little Joe.
Yes.
And Hoss.
Yes.
That Bonanza.
Bonanza.
Okay.
Yeah. And he had lost a tooth.
Uh-huh.
And he's out there just screwing around. He's bugging his dad to death. So he sends him over there. And basically, somebody looks at him and thinks, you know, that kid would be pretty good. So that's how they discovered him.
Come here.
Yeah.
I need you. Right. Stand here.
Playing on the bonanza lot. Right?
Wow. Okay.
So I've got a couple other names I want to share with you before I drop my big one. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So you've got Yuji Okamoto. I can't remember how to say his name properly.
He's the Howard Cosell from Better Off Dead, or was it Real Gene?
No, it was Better Off Dead.
It was Better Off Dead.
He does the language lessons.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that he is, of course, also in Karate Kid 2 as the bad
guy. He's chosen,
and then shows up in Cobra Kai as the same character again. But he is briefly in this. It's at the pool party. He lucked into the right scene to be a part of in this movie, as is the guy that we talked about last time, Real Smooth Cliff. He's in that scene as well from 16 Candles.
Okay, just while we're here, the pool party is one of the most ridiculous scenes in the entire movie.
I would have wanted to have a party like that for my entire life.
But I'm totally with you, right? Yeah, because right. It looks like a blast.
Yeah.
But literally, they've set up a pool in like the orchestra section of the
auditorium.
Yeah. And they've got a water slide, and somebody said, yeah, let's set up a pool in this room and have the Tanning Invitational come.
If people buy tickets, sell tickets. That's what I'm saying. Oh my gosh.
It literally was, I was just looking at this going, could the production not afford to have this at a pool somewhere?
No, this makes it so much better because I think that's kind of part of the atmosphere that they were going for in this movie. I mean, we talked about how this is kind of based on Caltech, right?
Yeah.
And so it would be more likely that those students, instead of going to an actual real pool, would go, how can we make a pool out of a theater? You know?
Right.
And even the, you know, the scene where everything is ice, you know?
Oh, that's
what
crazy.
What is this? This is ice. This is what happens to water when it gets cold. So that was based on a real thing that happened at Caltech. I don't know if it was precisely that, but that same idea. And you'll notice the walls have cartoons all over them. You notice as they're walking along?
Right.
That's what the Caltech, like they literally went to Caltech. They went to the dorm that these students were in, and they took pictures of the walls. I mean, this wasn't like some creative genius put this up there. They took the pictures from Caltech and repainted them, drew them all over the walls. And then she had some Caltech students come in and they were like consultants to talk about how things worked. But then like when people left and they were still there with Martha Coolidge, she'd be like, go draw on the wall some. And they loved it. They would go put more stuff on the walls.
Right.
But that kind of crazy, let's think outside of the box. Let's do something different.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. You also have Deborah Foreman in this movie. She has kind of a smaller part. She plays Susan.
Yep.
She's the girl who asks Chris Knight if he can. Yeah, he's like, have you ever seen a body like this in your entire life?
That's my daughter.
He's like, oh, I guess you have, right? And she says, can you drive a 6-inch spike through a board with your penis?
Yes.
And he's like, not right now. She's like, a girl's got to have
her standards. Yeah. Yes,
that's
right.
That's Deborah Foreman.
She's Valley Girl.
She was in Valley Girl.
Yeah. Okay. She was the Valley Girl.
She was
right?
The Valley Girl.
Right.
So just to recap, we haven't talked about the movie Valley Girl, but we have talked about Deborah Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
We've now talked about Michelle Myrink.
Yep.
We talked about E.G. Daly in our Better Off Dead episode.
That's true.
And Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And Martha Coolidge.
Yeah.
We're kind of making our way through Martha.
Like we're hovering around it. Maybe Valley Girl versus Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Here's the name I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Okay. There is a older woman in this movie who's like a groupie. She's like a nerd groupie.
Oh, yeah, nerd groupie. Yeah.
Okay. Her character's name is Sherry Nungel.
Yes.
Is that right?
I've been looking for you for 16 years. Yeah.
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 Sherry Nungel, I think is her name.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so she's played by Patty de Bonnevie. Okay? It's a French name.
Okay.
Okay? Now.
It's a D apostrophe.
D apostrophe.
De Bonnevie.
Okay. She was a model in London when she was a teenager, okay?
Okay.
So this is my connection back to Weird Science where we talked about there is a song written about Kelly LeBrock.
Oh, right. Maneater.
Maneater. Go back and listen to our part one,
yeah.
Kelly LeBrock, the song Maneater by Hall & Oates was written about Kelly LeBrock.
Right.
Okay? And I teased you up that there's actually another song written about somebody in Real Genius.
Yeah.
Well, it's this lady. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about her.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was a model in the 60s. She was in this really important French erotic film in the 70s.
Very artistically important.
I don't know a lot about it, but I saw the movie poster, and the French are okay with nudity on movie posters. I'm just letting you know about that.
All right. Google search.
Yes. And so she was a kind of a happening babe, you know, and she went to a party where there were a bunch of musicians.
Okay.
And you know, musicians, they like their hot babes, right?
Yeah, those weird musicians. Who doesn't like their hot babes?
I know, right? So she goes to a party in New York City right before she goes back to London to work on her modeling career or whatever.
Okay.
So just attendees at this party, you have Jimmy Page, you have Steve Winwood, you have Eric Clapton.
Okay, so you've got a trifecta of English rock stars there. That's incredible.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is, you know, early 70s.
Yeah.
But she meets Cat Stevens there.
Okay. Yeah. Moonshadow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go back to our American Werewolf in London episode.
There you go.
Okay. So in 1970, he releases a song called Lady de Bonneville.
My Lady de Bonneville, why do you sleep so still?
Lady de Bonneville, and this girl's last name is de Bonneville.
De Bonneville, yep.
So I'm going to make the mental leap that the song is about her.
Yes.
Was he at this party with Jimmy
Page?
Cat Stevens was
there. Cat Stevens was there.
And he was still Cat at that point.
That's right. He wasn't Yusuf.
Muhammad, whatever. Yeah.
So they started a relationship. He kind of was like struck by her beauty, obviously. Wrote a song about her. It reached number 8 in the UK.
Oh, wow.
So kind of a hit song.
Cool. Yeah.
Not one I was familiar with.
Nope.
But I also want to drop this on you.
Okay.
Patti DeBonneville.
Yes.
Also was on a Miami Vice episode. And she and Don Johnson were married, basically common law married, for 4 years, 81 to 85.
Cohabitated, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They have a son together.
Wow. What?
She and Don Johnson were like an item.
Wow.
For several years.
That's crazy.
During the Miami Vice years.
Wow. Nice.
And now she's, in 1985, she's chasing down Mitch because he's the smartest guy around. But she ends up with Laszlo.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the cast of Real Genius.
Yeah. Love it.
Okay. Tidbits?
Yeah. Hit me.
All right.
Which we're going to start with, go back to Weird Science now?
Let's go back to Weird Science.
All right.
You stewed, buttwad.
So here's a tidbit I have on Weird Science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so you remember what goes wrong when they try to recreate the...
That's a Persian missile, the Lisa.
Yeah, right.
My name is Chet. I didn't think it was a whale's...
Right.
Right?
So that scene obviously was not an inexpensive scene to shoot, okay?
Yeah.
And so they literally had to rig up the floor so that this gigantic missile would come up through the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole, you know, all the cast members are there
watching. Carpet parts and, yeah.
All of this is happening. And as it reaches its peak, Anthony Michael Hall lets one go. Like,
are you serious?
The whole place just starts cracking
up. Oh, my gosh.
And John Hughes is like, you son of a bitch. And so they had to pull it back down and... Like film it together. They filmed it taking it back down because the carpet's already ripped at that point, right? So they had to film it coming back down and then reverse the footage so that it looked like it was coming up because Anthony Michael Hall spoiled the million-dollar shot with a fart.
Wow. Oh, yes. That's hilarious. That is hilarious, man.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got just a couple of tidbits for you on Weird Science.
Okay.
All right. So I thought this was interesting. You know how when they advertise or distribute a movie in other countries, sometimes they change the name.
Mm-hmm.
So Weird Science in other countries is not called Weird Science.
Yeah.
In Sweden, it's called Dream Woman. In Russia, it's called Oh, the Science. Right? Germany is called Cool Magic with Lisa. In Denmark, it's Touch Me, I'm Yours.
Okay.
Okay, but this is my favorite one. In Japan, it's called Electric Venus.
I really thought you were going to say Electric Vagina.
Electric Venus.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. There was a scene, apparently, that was filmed. It was in the script. It was filmed where the two bullies, the Robert Downey Jr. character and Robert Ressler is the other guy's name, Ian and...
Whatever.
Whatever. The bullies.
Yeah.
Where Lisa turns them into like a pig and a donkey. Mm-hmm. And really, we don't really get any sort of...
Resolution with them.
They just kind of vanish.
Yeah.
They go away. But a pig and a donkey?
Yeah. There's another scene in the movie that they cut out where like these guys show up for the party and they're all wearing like Devo hats.
Yeah.
And Lisa's like, no, you can't come in. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. I did like this. John Hughes described Lisa as Mary Poppins with breasts.
Well, okay. Mary Poppins had breasts, so I don't really understand that, but okay.
I mean, Julie Andrews, Kelly LeBrock.
Dude, don't go there. Julie Andrews is hot. At least she was back in the day.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Okay, I want to just throw something at you, see what you think about this.
Uh-huh.
In the John Hughes universe, Weird Science takes place at Shermer High School.
Yep.
That's the same school that The Breakfast Club takes place at.
Yes.
It's also the same school that Ferris Bueller's Day Off takes place at.
Yes.
I think probably Pretty in Pink and others, Some Kind of Wonderful.
Probably.
There is a alternate reality where Ferris and Ian are buddies,
yeah.
You know, and like, you know, Sloan goes to this party and runs into Lisa, or she's friends with Deb and Hilly. They're on the cheerleading squad.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of fun to think about maybe Sloan and Claire from Breakfast Club and Hilly and Deb are on the same cheerleading squad.
Sure. And Anthony Michael Hall is the nerd from 16 Candles or from Breakfast Club.
Or
either
both.
Either yeah. One, both, is also the nerd from Weird Science. I mean, he could be the same guy in each one. I mean, obviously his name's different, so that kind of messes things up. But yeah.
Still fun to think about.
Yeah.
All right. Tidbits from Real Genius.
Do it.
So if you ever watched the trailer, the original trailer for Real Genius, there's a scene where Chris Knight is in a lawn chair and there's like helium balloons and he's floating and he's got his Ray-Bans on and he's being cool and he's floating around in a lawn chair propelled by helium balloons.
Okay.
They actually cut that from the movie, I think because they were afraid that people were going to try that.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And then the movie Up came out.
There you go. Yeah. I do think people would have tried that.
Yeah.
And people may still try
that. I was going to say, people have tried that. Yeah, there's no question about that.
Okay. Let's talk about the popcorn scene for a second.
Okay.
So literally it was somebody's job for 6 weeks to do nothing but pop popcorn.
Right. It turns out that popcorn is very flammable because they rented a warehouse to pop all of the popcorn. And they popped.
Just throw it in the bag there.
Popped all of the popcorn, stored it. And then they burned down the warehouse because the popcorn was flammable. And so they said, okay, we have to do something to keep it from, number one, catching on fire, and number two, from rotting in the interim between when we pop it and when we have it in this house.
Right.
And then, of course, they rig up a whole system so that they can, like, blow it out of the, you know, because they're not actually popping the corn, right? They're the tinfoil's over it to create the illusion, but right. It's already popped, it's people. It's magic of Hollywood.
Right. Right.
And so they're gunning it out basically and gunning it out of the windows. But the buttery looking part of things is like a flame retardant sort of anti-rot.
Yeah.
Spray that they put all over it.
And they had to protect it from the birds. They were real worried the birds were going to eat it. And yeah. Die because of this flame retardant stuff all over it.
Right, right.
So they had to be real careful about that.
Okay. Now you sent me something. This is a little weird. You sent me something, or maybe I just came across it. There is a rumor that Tom Hanks has a brief cameo in this. Now keep in mind, this is 1985.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you search Tom Hanks cameo Real Genius, you're going to find some screenshots and you're going to be like, is that Tom Hanks? I mean, because it could be. So you remember when Mitch first gets to the college, he says hello to a lady and he's like, I'm looking for this. She's like, oh, I'm glad to know that we have one. And she takes him to the weird guy. Never.
Always.
No, always. Check your references. Yes. And then at that point, he's like, well, I got to go. And he backs up and he backs into somebody.
Yes.
And that person, I mean, they've got their back to the camera, but just briefly, like go like this, and it really looks a lot like Tom Hanks, But I say that in the same way that I think that the guy in the Rosanna video looks a lot like Patrick Swayze.
It is Patrick Swayze.
It is not Patrick Swayze. It does look like him, but it is not him. And this guy. And then I saw some other people are like, no, that's not Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is in the popcorn scene, and he's got this white, but I can't find any pictures of that. So I think this is urban BS is what I think this is.
The only connection I can think of.
Splash.
Well, you have Splash with Bachelor Brian Grazer, Party. Bachelor Party, and Robert Prescott was in Bachelor Party as well.
Yeah.
So there are some connections there.
It could have happened.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. On the subject of popcorn.
Yes.
They tried to simulate this idea that popcorn would burst through the doors, blow out the windows.
They did find that you could heat the popcorn up with a laser and make it pop. That at least is legitimate.
Okay. From space?
Well, that probably would have been a little hard for Mythbusters to pull off the test for that one.
Oh, come on, guys. But basically, they found that that was kind of busted because the popcorn would just char and not tear the house down.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so I just got a couple more tidbits for you. William Atherton's real last name is Knight.
Oh.
It's William Atherton Knight.
Huh. I guess Bill Knight would be too common. Atherton is less... Or maybe it's his mother's maiden name or something.
I don't know. There you go.
Yep. Interesting. Okay.
When they were promoting this movie, they actually, there's stuff out there I saw that claims this is the first movie that was promoted by the internet. Now, it wasn't really the internet.
Well, it's...
They had a computer, like...
Okay, so here's the rest of the story on that.
Yeah.
So what they did was this, they promoted... This was the first, like, movie teleconference or whatever, where they would appear by computer. And so Martha Coolidge and Brian Grazer were in a different place than all of the reporters, and they were connected with the ComServ intranets thing. I mean, it's just like in the movie where you see them put the phone receiver on the little thing that looks like a couple of Bunsen burners, right?
Remember those? Yeah.
And so they had this. They had their conference through the computer. It was wild and crazy stuff.
You know, I remember the first time I saw one of those little where you put your phone actually, which is I guess the modem. Mm-hmm. When I saw Matthew Broderick's character do that in War Games, I was like, oh, I need one of those.
Right.
And I had no idea how it worked or what it did.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And it would have done nothing for 10 years.
Right. I mean,
yeah, it would have been useless to you unless you were the ultra nerd who could actually, you know, break into your school's computer and change your grades.
Change it to pencil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get into Final Judgment.
Okay.
Something I found interesting is that Weird Science and Real Genius competed head-to-head at the box office. They were released within a week of each other.
Nice. Yeah.
So, pretty good matchup, I think.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. Couple of songs that we just got to touch on real quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And they were big songs.
Okay.
And I say big. One was big and is still big. Like and so throwback to our Cheers for Fears songs from the Big Chair episode, we have the end scene, credits roll, and we've got Everybody Wants to Rule the World playing.
It's magical.
My kids love this song. You know, this is a song that has definitely stood the test of time. And then for Weird Science, we have Oingo Boingo and Danny Elfman with like his, I mean, this is really before he became the composer Danny Elfman. He's still with Oingo Boingo, but John Hughes hits him up about it. He's like, hey, I want you to write a song for this. And literally driving home within a couple of days, he like comes to him, runs home, plays it, and that's the song. And I got to tell you, you heard me singing it when I come up the stairs. Every time I'm watching this movie, that song gets freaking stuck in my head. It's a great tune that I think kind of also stands the test of time, but it only made it up to like 45. But that's Oingo Boingo's biggest hit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I've got something for you on this. Now, I don't know a lot about the legal details of it, but the mall scene where Lisa is walking around and she's like driving the bullies crazy with her crazy good looks, whatever. And, you know,
crawling, do you back have up these the escalator.
Underwear and barbed wire, you know, right? So in that music montage for like years, when I saw it, Pretty Woman by Van Halen was playing in that spot in the movie.
I kind of remember that.
If you're of our generation and you watched it on HBO, Pretty Woman was playing. Right.
But it's not. It's the Weird Science song.
It's now Weird Science. That's right.
Interesting. Must have lost the rights somehow.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
You know, once, you know, we've talked before about how, like, people, movies and music, didn't realize what big business it was, you know?
Sure. And I mean, in contracts back in the 80s, there would have been no mention of something that had the concept of streaming service.
Right.
Or digital disc, even, possibly.
Sure.
So, yeah. So when you make a deal like, hey, we can use this for any of these mediums, and then they're like, well, you're streaming it on Netflix. It's no longer that medium anymore. And so, no, we're not going to let you use our song unless you pay us a bunch of money. And they're like, screw you. We've got our own song.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. By the way, I just wanted to, before we got off that subject, go back to our Tears for Fears episode. That song makes that moment so enjoyable.
100%.
You know? Anyway, we're moving towards Final Judgment, but
yeah.
Why don't you go first?
Okay. So this is a genuinely hard decision for me, okay?
Yeah.
Because I love both of these movies. And Weird Science is the biggest departure from the John Hughes standard canon of any movie that he made at that time, right? It's wacky. It's the weird, magical things that are unexplained, the nonsensical turd monster, kind of things, you know? And so I had some reservations about it because of just how weird, appropriately titled, it was.
Weird.
And Real Genius is genius. Like, it's funny and really smart. Like, they're spouting science that is real. Martha Coolidge did months of research to try to be as accurate as she could about the lasers and the CIA operatives and how Caltech students operated and all of this stuff. But ultimately, very simply, I'm making my decision on the laugh meter.
Okay.
And I watch these movies one right after the other. Watch Real Genius, then I watched Weird Science, and the laugh meter for Weird Science was substantially higher than for Real Genius.
Yeah.
And so because the laugh meter has to win out, you know, I got to pick a winner somehow.
Right.
And the other, all respects, these are head, neck to neck, nose to nose, head to head, awesome movies, but the one that wins the day for me is Weird Science because it's just funnier.
I can't really disagree with you. Like, Chet's character, every single time, and I've seen this movie 100 times, I just bust up laughing every time he's on the screen, you know? Yeah. For me, it's almost the exact opposite of what you said.
Okay.
So when I watch Weird Science, the absurdity takes me out of it a little bit. The poop monster, you know, is funny. It's all that is crazy, goofy, funny stuff. You know, the dog on the ceiling, you know, the pink skies, all the absurdity of it. Is it fun? Yes. Do I laugh all the time? Yes. I love it. And it's clearly a teenage boy fantasy. But for me, I enjoy Real Genius due to the cleverness and the smartness of it, which I know you do too. And it's just by a nose. But if I'm walking out the door, I've got one DVD I need to grab and I want to spend the weekend with it. For me, it's Real Genius.
I can't fault you.
Yeah.
Well, guys, tell us what you think. Which movie do you pick? Is it the Weird or is it the Genius? Because that's basically what it seemed to come down to.
Right, right.
Check us out. You can find us on Facebook at Shirley Podcast. You can find us on X at Shirley Podcast. You can email us, but be careful. If you email us, we will pull you in, make you our friend, and then you'll be co-hosting an episode with us. But email us, shirleypodcast@gmail.com. Go check out the shirleypodcast.com website for all of our episodes. And like I said before, be sure and hit that subscribe button. Hit the 5 stars for me, man. Come on, man. You've lasted this long. Hit that 5-star for me.
Hit the subscribe button, too, while you're there.
There you go. Thank you guys so much. What do we got coming up next week?
Next week, we have The Black Crows. Shake Your Moneymaker.
Oh, dude. I've dived into this story so hard. This story is movie worthy. I really want them to make a movie out of just
how. It's nuts.
I mean, talk about adversity. Talk about confrontation. This story is full of them. I can't wait to talk about these guys.
Shake Your Moneymaker is turning 35 years old.
35 years old. And we will be comparing that one
to Tesla Great Radio Controversy.
Another fantastic episode. I feel like these guys will get along better than than the Robinson brothers do.
Everybody gets along better than the Robinson
but
brothers.
I've got obviously a very special place in my heart, which I will tell everybody about whenever we come to that episode for Tesla. So
it's going to be a blast.
It's going to be fun. See you guys then. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.